Hello and welcome to our second week of the Co-Church Living Room. It's so great to have you with us back again, or if this is your first time, thank you for checking us out. Do stay and see more of what we do, what we're about, and even check out last week's message as well. Look, we've had great feedback from last week's service. Different people have written in or posted on Facebook, and we really appreciate that. We know there's some room for improvement. You know, we know the biggest room in our lives is the room for improvement. So we want to improve and do things a bit differently. And we've got Easter services coming up as well soon. So we've got plenty to look forward to. So if you've got a coffee or you're hanging out there with others, we just welcome you here today. Co-Church, we believe that you are created, called and championed. And we want to stand with you through these times to see you come through the other side, giving praise and glory to God. Of course, our soaps during the week were very effective as we heard from different people, meditating on the Word of God each day, looking at different scriptures, and the Connect soaps. Of course, it was all around the theme of church in the home, or as the Bible refers to it, particularly in the book of Acts, church house to house. And we see the early church really started out that way. And, you know, it's good to go back to the basics, back to the source of how things started. We can learn so much from the simplicity of how they did church in the early days. So today we're looking at another subject that's very relevant to where we're at, and it's about God's provision. And this week's soap, individual soaps for the week, the scriptures, and starting today, Sunday, is on God's provision, and also the Connect soap, which is three scriptures that you can do connecting with somebody else through social media or just as a family at home. We encourage you to do so. You know, God as our provider is something that is a bit of a strange thing to us in the West, the Western world. You know, we are living in times of plenty up until now where we're having to think, where's our next meal or where's our next paycheck coming from? But if we think in Australia, we live in a land of bounty, of healthy abundance, of all kinds of food, running water, housing, education, medications, clean air, and wide open spaces. Whether you live in the city or the outback, there is no lack. We have generally enjoyed healthy balance between work and play, and seeing our fields full of sporting activities over the weekend, this is the privilege of a blessed nation. We have experienced this really up until this last year, where normally, as a land that we're in, we have some extremes of droughts and floods and fires, but we've had this happening back to back. And now we have this worldwide pandemic happening as well. So we would be saying, where is God in the midst of this? In fact, some could be saying, this is the end times. And I wouldn't argue against that at all. In fact, in the coming weeks, we may look at what the Bible has to say about the last days that we could be living in. But for now, we're going to be looking today at God being our provider. God is a God of provision. And I'm going to start today with an Old Testament passage of Scripture. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I have my Bible here today. This Bible has been with me for over 30 years. It's been recovered three times, and I just love reading the Word in my Bible. But I have it written out here, and this is in the New Living Translation. It gives a good, fresh approach. And reading this scripture, which is about Israel going into the Promised Land, we could actually be describing Australia. Look at this in verse 9. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. We could say who's rescued us from sin. We could very easily think that this is talking about Australia and the blessings that we have been living in. The following verses talk about God taking Israel through the wilderness and the provision and protection that he gave there. Then we pick it up in verse 17, and he says, he did this so that you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth, my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God, he is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. These are powerful words of exhortation from a God who has provided to, at that time, his chosen nation Israel, some 3 million people, and how God supernaturally provided for them and was going to provide for them. And we can relate this to our lives today. Now, there's no way that I'd say to you what is happening has been brought about by God. Not at all. However, our response to what is happening can actually bring us back to God and a remembrance that our blessings come from him. God knows us because he created us. He knows in our humanness that we forget about God. When things are good and things are easy and things are going well, God can kind of be an interruption to our lives. And we don't want to think that way. We think that it's our own talents, work, goodness, that is the final authority on God's blessing and success in our life. Now, I want to say this. Absolutely, God does require us to work, to use wisdom, plan ahead, and use our God-given talents. This, again, is a whole other subject that we can look at. God-given talents is what God has given us to glorify him. The fact that God worked 6 days in creating everything and then rested on the seventh, God is a worker and he understands rest as well. Here's an old family proverb that my father used to say, God will feed the birds, but he doesn't throw it in their nests. That's a good German proverb, if you know what I mean. Another great passage to understand God as a provider is a real classic one. In Genesis 22, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles there, I'm not going to read all through this. I'm going to paraphrase for the sake of time. Genesis is called the book of beginnings, and it's often a place where we see what's called the law of first reference that sets the tone for a particular theme or doctrine through the Bible. Some of you may have heard of the phrase Jehovah Jireh. It means God, our provider. And this is where we see this first stated in the Bible here in Genesis 22. So the background to this story is God has already proven himself to Abraham and to Sarah to be a provider, giving them a son in their old age. And Sarah was barren to begin with. He's given them that much wealth that his nephew Lot, who was with him, they gathered so many herds of cattle and so much wealth that they had to separate and go their different ways. In Genesis 13:2, it says this of Abraham. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. Actually, Abram's life speaks of abundance, which is really important to remember in this story and thinking of God as a God of provider, because we are spoken of as being of the seed of Abraham if we have faith in God. That abundant blessing, seed, and faith is within each one of us from God. We simply need to awaken it. We need to stir it. We need to feed it. We need to declare it. We need to confess and meditate on this great truth and see it become a reality in our lives today even more than ever. But then God had a request for Abram. After God had given Abraham so much, he then required his son Isaac as an offering. Wow. Now you need to understand, God was never going to have Isaac killed, but for the sake of revealing God's provision to Abraham and also showing the prophetic picture of God's salvation plan, that God was prepared to give up his only son in Jesus Christ on the cross, this event had to take place. It's a perfect picture of God's provision to us in the natural and spiritually concerning our eternal salvation and provision. You'll read in your Bibles that at the point of sacrifice, God held Abraham back. And we'll read this in verses 12 to 14 in Genesis 22. Look at this. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Sounds just like God, our Father, and Jesus. "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.'" Hallelujah. That's a powerful statement. It's a powerful declaration. There's power in names, particularly biblical names. They mean something. They reflect what God is doing. "As it is said this to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And of course, we see on the mount where God provided his son as a sacrifice for us so that we can have the life of blessing and eternal life we have today. The phrase "the Lord will provide" is the words in Hebrew Jehovah Jireh. And it literally means this: the Lord has seen ahead and has already made provision. The Lord has seen ahead and has already made provision. You need to take that promise for yourself now, because God has seen ahead to today. He's seen ahead to next week, next month, and next year, and he has made provision. We just need to stay close to him to understand what he is saying and positioning us for his provision. In yours and my situations now in the future, God has provided. Yes, he does require us to use our brains, talents, and stewardship, but ultimately there is a supernatural provision made available to us and for us to tap into. Now is the time to trust God. And yes, we live in a world where governments require our taxes, and in times like this, those taxes are used to make special provisions for individuals, families, and businesses too. So use all the available and legal means to access that wealth too. You've paid your taxes and the government is providing assistance. That's part of the provision. However, don't limit God to the government. We thank God for wise, and at this time we have a God-fearing Prime Minister. God bless Scott Morrison. But God is bigger than this current circumstance and our own limitations. Look, as well as God using people to bless other people, you know, you could be a conduit for God's blessing through you to somebody else. You may be on the receiving end of a blessing from somebody else. We're all part of giving and receiving at this time. I'm going to take us to a New Testament scripture now. And really, the whole Bible is a book of provision. From Genesis to Revelation, it's about God providing solutions and answers, and whether it be protection or daily bread or God turning water into wine. God provides in all sorts of wonderful and amazing ways. Jesus talks about the flowers of the field and provision for birds and how much more valuable we are. I know some of you know your Bible and will be saying, "What about offerings and tithing and giving and sowing and reaping?" Oh yes, I could take another 10 weeks to rightfully address truths around that subject. However, I felt convicted by God to keep this simple and talk about our great God as a provider and understand that God wants to supernaturally provide. Yes, we should partake in the principle and the truth of offering and tithing and sowing and reaping. Yes, that is a part of things. But the focus is, in this particular teaching, is on God as our provider. And so the final passages of Scripture I'd like to look at is in the New Testament, and this amazing story in John chapter 6. If you'd like to turn there again in your Bible, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but to paraphrase and give the story, and you can pick out and study this for yourself. This is the feeding of the 5,000. Wow, what an incredible story. Of course, we know the setting. Jesus has been teaching a great multitude of people far away from anywhere of provision. There's no McDonald's and there's no other stores and grocery stores that they can go to. They've just been soaking up Jesus' word. And then it comes time to feed them. There's nothing. And there's the rumblings. And one of the disciples says, there's a little boy who has some loaves and some fishes. And one of the disciples says, what is that to feed so many? But Jesus gives specific instructions, sitting everybody down in groups, and he gives thanks to God and begins to hand out these loaves and fishes. Now we're talking, the Bible says, 5,000 men. So it would appear that there's plus women and children. Now, I've done plenty of barbecues for men's ministry and gatherings and all sorts of things with youth and so forth. And I can tell you, one little boy's lunch is not going to satisfy one grown man, let alone 5,000 plus women and children. And by the way, the disciples collected 12 basketfuls of fragments that were left over. Now, I've heard different people try and explain this away in some earthly description and way, and I've got to tell you, there's no way that you can realistically look at this and explain it in earthly terms. This can only be explained in supernatural terms. We have a young boy who has presented his lunch, a boy's lunch that has fed 5,000. Now, I know from looking at churches and understanding gatherings that oftentimes there can be more than one woman to the men. And then there's the children as well. So there could be 15,000 people that one boy's lunch is providing, plus there's leftovers. Now, what is God saying to us through this? He's saying that he can provide where it seems absolutely impossible, that there's no way that something can do. God is saying, what have you got in your hand? What have you got in your fridge? What have you got in your bank account? What have you got that you can offer up to God, that you can present, that you can say, God, what I have is yours. Now, I'm not saying that you need to give this to the church. What I'm saying is that what you have, everything you are is God. So it's saying, God, take this, use what I have, use what's in your hand. We think about the widow with the oil. We think about Moses crossing the Red Sea. He had a stick in his hand. And what use was a stick in getting the Israelites across the Red Sea? It wasn't any use, but God said, hold it up, stand still and see the salvation of God. And he held it up and the waters parted. So there's no way to explain these things. People can in their futile minds, but they'll always get trapped because this is a supernatural thing. It reminds us of God's supernatural provision. He's a provider. You know, when God says we put him into remembrance of his word, that he will watch over that word to perform it. So when you're going through these times now, you need to find these references, find these places where God talks about his provision. These examples that I've given just in this short time that we've had, and put God in remembrance. Or maybe where you have experienced God's supernatural blessing in your life. I know I have many times where I may have been down to my last 50 cents and God has supernaturally provided, plus provided in other ways and means and jobs and so forth. So God has done it before and he can do it again. He's done it before in your life and he wants to do it again. And this is the time to do such a thing. There is supernatural scriptures all through the Bible. And this week's soap is about God's provision, God being our provider. And I know many people have studied the scriptures and the soaps and memorized the scripture. Matthew 11:20 was the scripture memorization, meditation scripture, where two or three people are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst, or as some translation said, I'm amongst you. We know that God's presence, his power, his anointing is there when we gather in his name. And so the memory verse for this week is incredibly powerful. It's very simple, but it's a classic. And it's Psalm 23 and verse 1. Now you should know this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now this week I'm presenting this in the NIV version because this says something a bit more succinct and a bit more direct, and it says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Different other translations say, I shall not want, or I have everything I need. You can look up the different translations through the link that is on your soap page, and you can see all the different translations. That's a very simple, profound, but powerful memory verse to memorize this week. You'll memorize it in a few minutes. But then it's about meditating on it and recalling that verse through the day, or when you're faced with the fear of where's the next meal, where's the next paycheck, where's the next provision, you can look to God. You can put God in remembrance. And he will either provide supernaturally or give you a creative solution or way through the situation. I say to you, watch God as he provides during this time. And it can be through other people, partly with the government's assistance as well. But as I said, we need to look beyond the government and look to the God of our government, to look to the God of our nation. Because he is the one that ultimately has created us. And he's seen this day and he knows the answers for this time. So I'm going to encourage you to do the devotion this week, do the memory verse, and do the daily soaps. Click on those. They'll be available on the webpage and Facebook, and we'll email, make them available as easily as possible. We now have a tab on the front of the webpage where you can access this very clearly. You'll see the video as well and other resources that we're putting in place to assist you during this time. So I just want to say, church, this is a time to really know our God and know him in our confidence of salvation. Maybe today you're hearing this kind of word for the first time and you're searching and wondering about God. Maybe you could be what the Bible calls a prodigal son or daughter, and you really need to come back to your father. You need to come back to home, to your roots, to what you know who God is. And so I'd like to challenge you to say yes to God today, to say yes to his nudging, to his divine connection, to have you connecting with us today. And so if you could, I would like to lead you in a prayer. And those sitting at home today, maybe you've said what is called the sinner's prayer before. It's a good time to say it again, refresh ourselves, because there may be somebody that you, in your daily life and activity, need to share this prayer with and challenge people, because people will be hurting and searching at this time. So I'm going to pray this prayer. You can pray this after me. Pray it under your breath or as loud as you can so you can hear it. It's not about anyone else hearing this prayer. It's about God hearing this prayer. You're saying this to Him. So say this after me. Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sin. And on the third day, I believe He rose from the dead. Jesus, I repent of my sins. Forgive me. Come into my heart and make me born again. Jesus, I thank You that my name is written in Your book in heaven, and I shall live with You forever. Amen. Now, I want to pray for you. Father, I just pray for every person who may have prayed this prayer for the first time, that God, You would touch them, and as they begin to follow You and read Your word, let Your word become alive to them. Let the word of God come alive out of the pages. Holy Spirit, just touch everyone now with Your presence in a new and fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen. And church, I want to thank you for participating with us in the living room. We'll be doing different things, different Sundays and different presentations. As I said, Easter is coming up. And you need to know, church, that Kim and I, the eldership and the leadership team, are praying for you. We're standing with you and believing that God will be with you and show Himself strong to you during this time. As per what I was teaching about today, that God will supernaturally provide. Just read the scriptures. Be like the Bible says, the Bereans. They search the scriptures to see whether these things were so. Search the scriptures and see that this is truly so. God wants to provide and meet your needs. So I say, God bless you, church, until we see you next week. Amen.